Of what might happen to you as a result of making these revelations?
Oh, yes. I probably am a dead man already.
They think they're living in a police state.
Once upon a time, there were these people in Europe called pilgrims, and they were afraid of being persecuted. So they all got in a boat and sailed to the New World where they wouldn't have to be scared ever again.
I loves my gun. And I don't mean no money, like I work at Walmart and make no money.
So enjoy yourself, or I'll come looking for you. There and veg out in front of your TV and enjoy what these fine people are giving you, which is maximum entertainment. You understand what I'm saying about? And don't you ever, ever, ever forget what it's like without TV. Because before TV, people just sat and played with themselves all night.
I loves my gun.
Recorded September 28th, 2012. Hey everybody, it's your old pal Iron Angel, back with another episode of Rangers A to Z. This is episode 18, Fall Camping. First I want to do a shout out to all the stations that have been carrying us. Let's see, Rant Radio, OspreyNetwork.info, and I think we're going to get picked up on Galaxy 15 here real soon, so that's pretty cool. Guys, I want to say thank you very much for having our podcast. I want to have all the folks listening check out some of those shows there. There's a lot of neat stuff on both all those stations. I was going to say both those stations, but pretty soon it'll be three, so it'll be more than that. I also want you to go check out our website when you get a chance. That's r4nger5.com, rangers.com. Check that out when you get a chance. There's a bunch of stuff up there. Let's see, what else? Well, one of the what else things is I had the background music way too loud and it was deafening the crap out of me. Any rate, let's get into this. It's fall. And a lot of people, you know, a lot of people think, hey, it's fall, it's cold, I'm not going out camping. Yeah, screw that. It's great outside. One, it looks cool. By day, quite often, it's reasonably warm. By night, it's not so incredibly cold you can't do anything. The weather can be a little iffy at times, you know. I know a lot of folks out there hunt, and fall is definitely hunting season, so this episode is going to help you out with some of the fall camping tricks that I've run into and friends of mine have run into and that kind of stuff over the years. So first of all, Rangers A to Z makes the assumption that you really don't have any experience whatsoever, that you haven't gotten outside, that you haven't really done a whole lot, that you haven't really been anything other than living in an apartment and, you know, making do in life and decided, you know what, I want to get out and do something with my life. I want to go experience things. I want to live life. So the first thing that's going to be really important is you're going to need some good clothing for this application. And the beauty is this clothing will work for a lot of other stuff, too. There's a lot of things you can use this clothing for. Just generally staying warm, should the power go out to a winter storm, anything like that. You can use most of this stuff as emergency clothing also. Wouldn't hurt to keep it in your car. Not all of it, of course, because otherwise you won't be able to see out the back window, but you get my point. First thing to consider is keep your feet warm and dry. When you're out in the woods, when you're out just doing anything, keeping your feet warm and dry will go a long way towards keeping you happy. There's a couple of ways to do that. One, obviously, is socks. They make a number of different kind of thermal winter socks, all of which are pretty decent. You can wear more than one layer of socks if you need to, but if you don't have boots that are looser or shoes that are looser, you'll find that that tends to make your feet kind of crushed and uncomfortable, and actually will often make them sweat and not be as comfortable as they could be. So if you're going to layer up socks, layer up two layers of thin socks, or wear one layer of the heavier insulated winter socks. The nice thing is a lot of the insulated winter socks have a real padded bottom to them. You'll have to do some looking around to find these. But I know they make a couple different sets of really nice, comfortable, I think they might call them insert socks, but I'm not sure on that. And you have to make sure you got them on right side up, otherwise you end up with, you know, a padded top, and that doesn't necessarily help you. Now, if your shoes are too tight, that's going to be a problem. if they're a laced shoe or boot, something like that, a hiking boot or a hunting boot, you can loosen the laces and that might give you enough room, but you may actually have to have another set for winter wear. A lot of people inadvertently buy their winter boots and their winter shoes too tight. If you're only going to be in an office, that's fine. But if you're going to be outside any kind of length of time whatsoever, make sure you got a little extra room in there for an extra layer of socks and to give your feet enough room to breathe so that you can actually have a layer of still air around your feet to provide insulation. That's all insulation really does, is it basically creates a layer of still air that holds the heat in and hopefully holds the cold out. Now, as to keeping things, I apologize right now. I've been fighting this, you know, relatively awful cold here for a couple days, so I'm not speaking real clearly, and my brains are trying to drain down the back of my throat, so I'm a lot noisier than typical, and I'm sniffly and snuffly and all thick-headed and stupid. So, hopefully, you're not getting that too. And, of course, my voice is all gravelly and stuff. I really should have recorded this a couple of days ago when I talk like this, because that would have been just great, wouldn't it? At any rate, you need to keep your feet dry. If you, like me, have a tendency to not have boots that are, today's model, I like old boots because they're broken in, they're comfortable, they're easy to move around in, but at the same time, they also have a bad tendency to leak. This can be really, really aggravating when you're out in the bush and it's early morning and it's real dewy and your feet get wet. You got one wet toe and one dry toe and your feet are three different temperature ranges and all that kind of stuff. The solution to this is manyfold. One, if you're wearing leather boots, re-dye them. You can get leather dye or something like that. Re-wax them. There's a fantastic piece in, I believe it's season one of Patrolling, on how to actually use Kiwi boot polish on rantmedia.ca under the Patrolling series of shows, episodes in season one. And he shows you how to actually set Kiwi boot polish on fire, which helps tremendously because it softens it up and it makes it penetrate deeply down into the material. If you're not using leather, it's a little different deal. We'll get to that in a second. Once you've got them coated with a good layer of polish, then you're going to go to a silicone spray. You polish it up good, then you silicone spray it over the top. And silicone is a really wonderful material. This works on synthetics, too, to some extent. Some synthetic silicone will dissolve. Check first, read your instructions, that kind of stuff. I've had a pair of tennis shoes that silicone managed to dissolve the snot out of. That was a little exciting. Didn't know that was going to happen. But for the most part, silicone spray, sprayed on, buffed in with a soft cloth, any old, chunk of T-shirt or something like that will work just nicely to buff that in. And the silicone will help waterproof your footwear pretty effectively. There are some companies that make Gore-Tex socks. Gore-Tex is a nice material in that even when it's wet, quite often it will help hold temperature somewhat. If you like the stuff, if you feel like having a pair or a couple pairs, not a bad idea to have. Not a bad idea to have in your car kit for emergencies. Should you end up, knee-deep in a ditch somewhere and have to replace your socks. Because I'll tell you what, even when the rest is wet, when your feet are dry, life isn't all that bad. So at any rate, keep your feet warm, keep your feet dry, and it goes right up you. If you're going to be out in the brush and you've got a couple of pairs of outdoor pants you can do this with, you can spray the legs of your pants with silicone. I will warn you that you don't really want to wash them with other stuff because the silicone will come off on other things in the wash, and if you get it on your wife's good clothes, you will be in trouble. Silicone spray can color stuff, so that's also an issue. When buying outdoor wear, a lot of people will buy specifically hunting clothes, which are very useful and tend to work pretty good. Quite often you're paying for something you don't need if you're not hunting, like scent lock and that kind of stuff. I personally actually prefer for going out and hiking, for rock climbing, for that kind of stuff, I like old military surplus gear. It's made very well. It tends to be very inexpensive. I've found a couple places around here I can get old military surplus woodland camo pants for about 15 bucks a pair, and they got all kinds of pockets for all kinds of stuff. They're real well made. They're relatively rugged, and, you know, it around hunting time, they blend in pretty good because everybody else is wearing camo, too. Sure, it's not great camo, but it works. And I got to say, they wear very well. Wash them really well. Spray them from the knees down with silicone spray or Camp Dry. There's a number of things that contain silicone. Camp Dry. I've actually used Thompson's Water Seal on stuff, which has some silicone in it. Thompson's Water Seal can be used to water seal canvas tarps and tents also. It makes them heavier. It makes them collect dust a little easier. That's the only real drawback to it. But that said, it does work great. I'll tell you what, even in driving rain, I've had cases where the water has beat it up and run right off stuff. I've got a long, heavy canvas duster coat sprayed down with a deck sprayer and Thompson's Water Seal. It's hard to put on if you don't spray it. If you try and put it on with a brush, it doesn't do that well. You end up with clumpy, gooey, sticky spots. So if nothing else, you know, go to the dollar store, pick up a couple of spray bottles, and apply it with a spray bottle if you have to, because it will really make a big difference. For having a fall early winter coat, a heavy canvas duster is not a bad way to go because it also covers your legs. And if you get caught in the rain, you wrap it up tight around you, buckle it down, and you're pretty good to go. I gotta say, I like them a lot. The only real negative is they do get caught on stuff. They aren't that useful, like, say, if you're trying to ride a bike. A lot of dusters are split down the back so you can wrap them around your legs and buckle them down. At least the old ones were. The new ones don't always have this. And the idea was that a duster was to be worn on horseback. So you needed to have that coat either lay across the back of the horse or bifurcated so you can wrap it. Bifurcated means split, by the way. Two forks. So you could wrap it around your legs, protect your legs from brush, from rain, from mud, so on and so forth. If you can find an old-style duster, and I'll tell you what, there's a few companies that make them. You can get them new. They're very pricey new for the kind of rugged wear that I put them to. But you occasionally will come across them at places like Goodwill and that kind of stuff for $10. And at $10, if I screw up and tear it up when I'm out playing paintball, oh well. You know, no big deal. Now, on the other hand, if you're handy, you can make them. There are patterns available. For the life of me, I can't remember where I saw them. I don't think it was Joann's or Fields Fabrics, but they are out there. If you're really handy, you can probably create a pattern yourself and add all kinds of extra pockets and carry all your stuff and so on and so forth and make it have a nice heavy duck canvas, and you'll be surprised at how much water those things can repel. When they first get wet, duck canvas, the fibers actually swell up slightly to create the ability to shed water and also insulate you somewhat, as long as it's away from your skin. It will get everything under it slightly damp. That's definitely a concern. And anywhere you touch it so your fingers leave oils, you may have issues with capillary action bleeding the water through it. So something to be aware of there. Any rate, assuming you've not done this kind of stuff before, go out to, say, Goodwill. Dig around, see what you can find in a nice heavy canvas coat and a nice heavy, you know, kind of either military surplus or some heavy canvas work pants, that kind of stuff. If you're just getting into it, you really don't want to spend a whole lot of money because you might discover when you're out there that particular pattern doesn't work for you or that somebody else will show you a piece of kit that works a lot better for you or that you just really don't like it. I had a friend spend an awful lot of money on camp gear, went whole hog, really, really picked up some nice top-end gear, laid down $1,000 to go out camping, went out camping, discovered that he could not sleep because of the lack of the city sounds. It just drove him nuts. And he really ended up just hating camping. Of course, he also got, you know, chewed up by mosquitoes and a bunch of other things, too, that were a lot less fun. And for him, rough, rugged, wild camping wasn't really his thing. He eventually traded a bunch of that stuff and got himself one of those little pop-up trailer deals and, you know, did the tin teepee route. And he enjoys the snot out of that still. But, you know, I don't really consider that camping. That's just, you know, it's just living someplace away from home for a few days. If you got cable TV, you're not camping. Come on, let's be honest. And he's got a portable satellite dish and stuff. So, yeah, he's not really camping. At any rate, get yourself a good rugged pair of pants. You might want to have some sort of underlayer. Now, there's a number of ways to go. The classic old long johns work just fine. They're nice and warm. They give you some padding when you screw up and run into something, slide down a rock hill into something, that kind of stuff. So you're a little less bruised up. Not hugely so, but a little less bruised up. And I know that I am really hard on my body. You may not be quite as much so, but if you're just starting out, you're going to have slips and falls and trip over sticks and things like that until you get used to where you're going and get your woods legs on, as it were. I also like the... there's a couple different brand names. Under Armour is the one that leaps to mind, but I think there's three or four others also. That is a microfiber material that helps create an insulation layer. You can even go so far as to wear a pair of sweatpants underneath your hiking pants and stuff if it's fairly cool and fairly brisk out. I like to go out... I'm an odd person in that I don't necessarily like to hike that much in the midday. I like to hike... if I'm out early in the morning, I like to be out and moving around early in the morning, and I like to be out particularly later in the evening and into the dark. And those times tend to get kind of chilly. So quite often when we set out, I'll put on an extra layer of something underneath and start off with my upper layers, which I'll get to in just a little bit here. My upper layers lightened up quite a bit, and that allows my body to regulate its temperature pretty good and off-event some of the heat and things like that until it gets cooler. And when you're coming back at night, you don't have anywhere near as much of that chilled, stiff factor. Because when you're out hiking and moving, when you stop, if it's fairly cool, your body is going to cool down rather rapidly. You're going to shed a lot of that heat rather rapidly, and you'll get stiff. Some of that stiffness is, of course, lactic acid building up in your muscles, not being real active. When you start to be active, this is your body's system to protect itself and to make itself stronger. Which, you know, good for you for getting off the couch and going and doing that, but be aware that, you know, you could be stiff and things. And some of that is from the cold. If at all possible, yeah, I'm losing my voice again. Yay! If at all possible, when you get back in, grab a hot shower or soak in a hot bath, that kind of stuff. You'll feel a lot better. One thing to be aware of, quite often, you'll feel just fine the next day, and then 2 days after you're out the bush, you'll be stiff, you'll hurt, you'll walk funny, you'll make weird noises, and you won't know why. This is completely normal. This is the way your body works. If at all possible, when you're doing this stuff, do all these little tricks and things, and you won't be anywhere near as bad in 2 days. You know, wear the extra layers on your legs so that, because your legs are very large muscles, they're moving a lot of blood through them. They're carrying your entire body weight plus all of your kit weight. Quite often you're moving maybe not at a real fast pace. I really do speak English, honestly. You're not necessarily moving at a very fast pace, but you're moving quite often in much more rugged terrain than you used to. A lot of folks are used to just walking on sidewalks and at worst up and downstairs, that kind of stuff. When you start getting out into the bush, particularly when you start getting into hill climbs and things like that, you're moving a lot more aggressively than you're used to. That extra layer of warmth around your body won't hurt. As a matter of fact, that's why sweatpants were made. They keep you warm when you're working out, so your muscles stay warm, so you don't get stiffness, so you don't pull things as easily, so you don't get cramps as easily, that kind of stuff. From there up, you're going to want a good belt. Even if you're not carrying any kind of belt line kit, and more than likely, eventually you will be, you're going to want a good, heavy, solid belt. Either a military surplus web belt or something of the nature, a heavy leather belt, something like that. I like a 2-inch wide, either a leather or a web belt. The little modern dress, you know, ooh, look how cute I am belts, just don't cut it. There's a few cases where a belt can be an emergency life-saving tool. Serious injuries, you can use a belt as a tourniquet. Not a good idea if you don't know what you're doing. You know, some first aid knowledge is not a bad thing there. You can use a belt to strap a stick to a broken limb if need be, that kind of stuff. So a heavy, solid belt has a lot of uses to it. I've used my belt as sort of a bad Indiana Jones whip to try and pull things out of trees and stuff like that. There was a spot we stopped where there was a a broken tree that we wanted to pull down because it was across the trail and didn't want it to fall on somebody else. So, you know, we used our belt to whip it over the top and pull that down. We're a little more forest folk than normal, I suppose, but, you know, my friends and I don't know any better. So, you know, we're rangers. What can you do? On the Beltline, I really strongly suggest you go to either an outdoor store or a big box store or someplace like that. Get yourself a whistle. They make a number of little survival whistles that have a compass, a magnifying glass, a whistle, and a thermometer all built into them for a couple bucks. Very worth having. If you're out in the bush and manage to sprain an ankle or something, three short blasts repeating are a universal distress call. If you hear three short blasts repeating, you know, toot, 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 and then a pause, and then hear it again, that's somebody looking for help. Somebody has screwed up and done something heinously awry. And I still, to this day, even with cell phones and everything else, I still say carry a whistle, because sometimes you lose your cell phone, the battery dies, you're in a spot that doesn't have reception, so on and so forth. Not to mention, having a little compass, it's not a great compass, I'll give you that. It gives you a vague direction. You know, hey, I left the car somewhere south of here. You can get back to the road and at least find your car again. The little magnifying glass, well, it's there. The thermometer is just a general kind of thing. Because it's right up close to your body, it tends to run off on temperature. You can take it off, leave it lay away for you for a few minutes so it levels out. It's a mercuric thermometer usually. So you can let it set away from you, and it will level off, and you can get within a couple degree reading, which is more than enough. Even if you're within 5-10 degrees, you know, it's not too bad. And it's not a bad idea to keep an eye on the temperature when it starts to get colder. You don't want to get frostbite, you don't want to get hypothermia, that kind of stuff. So if you're out in the evening and it starts to drop, you know, eyeball your thermometer occasionally, because when you're really active, you don't realize how cold it is. And then when you stop and you take everything off and you're resting and having a break, your fingers start to go numb and you don't realize it. So, other Beltline things, I strongly suggest a multi-tool. Even a cheap multi-tool. You don't have to lay down $100 for a really good one when you're just starting out. A $10, you know, hardware store multi-tool will do an awful lot for you. Is it a great, absolutely be-all, end-all tool? Oh, no, no. It doesn't do anything exceptionally well, but it does a bunch of stuff kind of okay. And having things like the little pliers in it. The saw is kind of so-so, but once in a while I've used mine. The little knife for cutting, we were down hiking along the river and got tangled up in fish line. I'll tell you what, I would much rather cut the fish line, remove it so that no animal gets caught in it, no kids get caught in it, that kind of stuff, than try and detangle myself from it and have somebody else fall into the same stupid trap, you know. If you find debris and stuff out in the field, it's not a bad idea to be carrying a bag, you know, a plastic bag or what have you, in the pockets of your pants to throw that kind of trash into. I wear pretty rugged pants. I'm not above sticking trash and junk in my pockets. Carry it back to a trash receptacle and get rid of it, that kind of thing. You know, it's not a bad idea to take that Boy Scout mentality of leave the forest cleaner than you found it with you at all times. Even in the city, wherever you are, if you're in your neighborhood, that kind of stuff, you're walking around, there's junk in your neighbor's yard, pick it up. You know, not a bad thing to do. It doesn't take a whole lot of time, it doesn't take a whole lot of your effort, and it sure does make your neighborhood look better. And when your neighborhood looks better, people like being there more. They're more willing to help you out. They're more willing to help each other out. Things get better overall. So when you're out in the woods, pick up after yourself. Pick up after other people. Just because they're stupid doesn't mean that you can't pick up after them. Oh, you can certainly detest them for it. You know, I really hate seeing people leave, you know, litter, fast food containers, stuff like that all over out in the woods. But we run into it all the time. So we pick it up, drag it back out with us, you know. Once in a great while, you'll find weird things out there that you don't expect. We found other people's cell phones and stuff like that before. Get them back, get them charged back up, and then start calling people and go, hi, I've got the cell phone that just called you, and I don't know whose it is, so if you know this person, can you get me their number, through some other, you know, not this number, obviously. Can you get me another number to get a hold of these people, get their cell phone back to them, that kind of thing. So have some pockets and stuff to carry things with. Also on your belt line, other than a multi-tool and a whistle, not a bad thing to do is to have a tiny little first aid kit. And the easiest way to do this is to get yourself an Altoids or other little tin from something like mints or candies, that kind of stuff. It can be plastic. It doesn't necessarily have to be tin. But something little like that, and a little pouch you can put it down into. At an Army surplus store, you can quite often get little ammo pouches, magazine pouches, that'll drop right into. Some Band-Aids, a tube of super glue. Absolutely one of the best first aid things you can carry with you is a tube of super glue. Because if you do happen to cut yourself up out in the woods, and it's bleeding pretty good, let it bleed out clean and then super glue it shut. That's what super glue is actually for. Every hunter should carry super glue with them, because if you do screw up and nick yourself cleaning game, that kind of stuff, it really is a big helpful thing to have. So, let's see. From there up, obviously, you know, you're going to want to wear a shirt. If you got all this stuff on your legs and you're out with no shirt on, you're one of my insane friends. But a nice rugged shirt, typically I layer up. I like to have a t-shirt, a button-down shirt over the top of that, and then some kind of... Oh, my chair's really noisy. Sorry about that. And then some kind of a jacket. Again, I like military surplus. I tend to wear an old M82 field jacket in woodland camo. Lots of pockets, rugged, well-made, rather inexpensive. I think I picked mine up for like $3 or $4 at Goodwill, someplace like that. You can certainly buy some really nice top-end kit. Just about anywhere you go, they've got hunting coats and that kind of stuff. And they are really, really exquisite stuff. I can't remember off the top of my head where I saw this stuff, but someplace around here had 5.11 or 5.11 jackets, 5.11 jackets, for about $50-$60, which is a screaming deal price on those. And they're really nice jackets made in Cordura nylon, and they're really rugged, really nice stuff. But if you're just starting out, Goodwill is your buddy. Let's see, I'm looking at time real quick. Tell you what, we're going to cover just the rest of the body. We'll go to some music. I'll come back and we'll cover some camp cooking stuff. How's that sound? Get yourself a jacket. You know, get yourself something that's loose-fitting so you've got some room to layer up underneath of it. Like I say, I like a button-down shirt. I tend to carry my cell phone in the button-down shirt pocket against my body where it's not going to get lost, where it's not going to get damaged as easily, that kind of stuff. I can pull it out and use it to check time or what have you. If at all possible, layer up as much as you can. If it's fairly chilly, a tight t-shirt, a loose t-shirt, your button-down shirt, be that flannel or what have you, then your jacket. By having multiple layers, you can take off layers to vent yourself or open layers to vent yourself. You're not quite as exposed to the weather. When it does get colder, you close it back up. Carrying a bandana or a scarf or a neckerchief, a baklava, something like that, in a pocket's not a bad idea. That way you can throw that on, keep your neck warmer. Some sort of headgear. Because you lose a fair amount of your heat through your head, when it starts to get cooler, some kind of headgear, either a stocking cap, a boonie cap, a ball cap, something like that. There are a number of different choices. Find one that works for you, find one that's comfortable. I like something with a brim. Personally, my favorite hat out there is a old heavy leather fedora, but they're a little hard to come by. I got mine at a truck stop some years ago. I haven't seen them in a while. But it's got a nice brim. If it rains, it tends to shed water pretty well. It keeps the sun out of your eyes. It'll push sticks away from your face as you're going through the brush, that kind of stuff. Just generally handy to have. Something with some body, something pretty rugged, something that'll survive nicely. Sunglasses aren't a bad idea. I like a full set of wrap sunglasses, and I'll give you a really good sheet here. For field use and that kind of stuff, run to the dollar store and dig around in the automotive section when you get a chance and see if you can get tinted safety glasses. They're not a real dark tint, but they do prevent 99.3% of UVA and B from getting to your eyes. So your eyes are pretty well protected. And they certainly help, you know, keep sticks and bugs and crap from flying into your eyes. They wrap around, so they protect you pretty well. And I got to say, I generally like them. I think I found them for $2-3 a pair. They're just as rugged, if not more so, than some of the really top-end sunglasses out there. And they won't set you back a huge amount. Get a couple pair. That way, if you lose them, yeah, so what? A $2 a shot? Eh, it happens. You drop them in the river? Well, that sucked. Well, you know, we'll carry on. Obviously, you know, put them in your jacket when you're done. Have a spare set for the car, have a spare set for the house, that kind of stuff. And you can always loan one to a buddy when you guys are out. So that about covers the clothing aspect of it. Oh, a shoulder bag isn't a half bad way of going either. Like a cloth backpack or something like that to carry stuff. When I come back, we'll cover some camp cooking and things to put in there. In the meantime, we're going to do some freight drive reprobates. And we're going to do a piece from I can't remember the actual name of the band. You'll remember this fellow as the voice of Newsreel X, if you listen to that at all on Rant. And hope you like this stuff. Back after the music.
another sign of life.
Ever.
Wow, that's probably the longest musical interlude I've done. Let's see. The first track was Freight Drive Reprobates, Drinking with the Devil. You can find that on lonetone.com. The second track is This Rain by Lover-Deceiver on soundcloud.com. LOVERS-DECEIVERS, because I can't spell and I know how that goes. This is goth music with a capital G, I gotta tell you. At any rate, I've got some more music coming up. This is actually going to be a fairly short segment. I decided I'm going to put another fairly long track in at the end. So what's going to happen? I'll have to come back to this and do a full episode just on fall camp cooking. To give you an idea of where I want to go with this, different seasons have different foods that are comfort foods for most people. When you get to fall, most people think of something like chili and cornbread. And I could do an entire episode on different ways to make chili over a campfire. You need a big pot, you need some meat, you need some beans. Well, you don't necessarily need beans, but most people put beans in there. You need some spices, usually some tomato-based spices and stuff, and some heat, and just go for it. Quite often it's better the next day. A lot of times it's great cornbread, that kind of stuff. I like spicy chili. When it gets cold and stuff like that, I like spicy. I don't know why, it's just how I am. So what'll happen is I'll come back, we'll do a big thing on camp cooking too, which will be fall camp food. Let me look at time here. It looks like I got maybe 8-10 minutes to cover here before I hit the next music. Like I say, really long music break in this one. I hope you like that stuff. Just get on Lone Tone, check out a bunch of different tracks there. Get on SoundCloud, dig around. There's all kinds of independent media out there. There's all kinds of neat stuff out there. You don't necessarily have to listen to the radio and listen to pop bands and buy all the regurgitated pap that's coming out these days. And I'm sure there's something out there, depending on what you like, I'm sure there's something out there you can find that's being made by people just like you and I. And that includes things like podcasts like this. There's a bunch of other podcasts out there, as I mentioned at the start of the hour. Rant Radio, Osprey Network, Galaxy 15, all those places are great places to listen to different podcasts. Depending on what you're into, I'm sure you can find a podcast. I stumbled across a podcast a couple days ago on extreme knitting. Not joking. So whatever you're into, there's something out there for you. And by the way, the Extreme Knitting podcast actually had some stuff that was kind of cool because they were knitting with Kevlar to make basically a knitted high-temperature pot holder. So it's something I'm going to do some more research into with the idea that down the road, you know, possibly, you know, see if there's some stuff available for this show that will help you make some more fire-resistant materials for camping and that kind of stuff. Because, boy, wouldn't it be great to have some mostly fire-resistant, you know, knitted kind of stuff, like a knitted Kevlar hat or something. I'm not real sure how comfortable it would be to wear, so I'll have to do some research. At any rate, hopefully this gave you some insight on what to look for when you're out shopping or digging around or what have you at yard sales, at Goodwill, so on and so forth, even at the big box stores and that kind of stuff for some colder weather kit. I wouldn't necessarily recommend this stuff in deep snow, real deep cold, that kind of thing, but it's certainly a start. A couple things I did miss in the first half. Gloves. I really strongly suggest having a couple pairs of gloves with you. Why a couple? Well, different applications. This time of year, you can often get a pair of knitted jersey gloves for $1, maybe $2. They're real nice to keep your hands warm. They're not so thick that you're not real dexterous, you're not real uncomfortable wearing them. Have yourself a pair, maybe two pair of jersey gloves stuck in your pockets. That way, if you get a pair wet, oh well, stick them back in the pocket, dry them out later. Or hang them up by the campfire, whatever, you know, or near the campfire. And you can switch over to another dry pair so your hands stay warm. Because when your hands get cold, they don't move as well, they're less dexterous, you're more apt to injure yourself. Another set of gloves to have with you that's not a bad idea is a set of leather gloves. And the reason for that is if you get into something rugged like moving rocks or limbs, that kind of stuff, pull on a pair of leather work gloves. Not like a thick, heavy welding pair. A fairly thin pair of leather work gloves is a nice thing to have. They'll probably set you back anywhere from $10 to $20 U.S. Depending on where you are, it may or may not, you know, be the same price. I'm going by my local experience on stuff like that. I haven't bought gloves out of state in about 10 years, so I couldn't tell you what the price somewhere else is. That all together should get you where you need to go. Like I say, this is going to be a long music show. I've got some fairly rare, fairly hard to come by stuff coming up from Mercs Under Fire. A great band out of the UK. They're in the studio right now recording some new stuff. If you dig around on Facebook, you can find them on Facebook, Mercs, M-E-R-C-S, Under Fire. Real interesting stuff. I like where they're going. It's kind of a new sound for me. Kind of a rap rock, big epic mix kind of thing. And following that, I'm going to have a little chunk from Drone Wars. They were nice enough to let us use this for the V-Series Back of Beyond, Rangers Back of Beyond. And that's Can't Let the Beast Run Free. Check us out at rangers.com, R4NGER5.com. Check us out on Facebook. Look for Rangers A to Z on Facebook. Leave me some feedback. Give me your tips. Tell me what you like to cook for winter. Shoot me a message there and let me know what you like in your chili. Just let me know you're out there, if nothing else. Want to thank Rant Radio and Osprey Network for carrying us. I hope you all have a great day. Get out in the woods, enjoy life, and hopefully teach people some stuff. Now it's time for Mercs Under Fire. This is Man in the Mask.
As for you, back to the prison you shall go, and into the mask you raise. Wear it until you love it, and die in it. It's our face, because the mask is your face. The face is a mask. The foul and offensive odors, waste of putrid and rotting meat. Was it to drown out the voices of others? The voices within ourselves. I think I know.
Take him out the full feature task. It's the man, it's the man in the mask. We're stuck dying.
And Aries of the future. That's not the story. His story's not a bore me. It tells you so tall. He didn't really stop to floor me. 5-6 times he gets set with slick shit. Silly story. So-